We're talking now with Dr. Frank Mettler, from University of California, Davis. Frank, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things. One, you used a term, sustainable intensification. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one very important aspect to reducing environmental footprint is to become very efficient. The more efficient you are, the fewer animals you need. And we've known this for a long time. Intensification is really aiming at improving efficiencies and optimizing efficiencies. And we have done a pretty good job in this country doing so. However, in some fields, in some area, this intensification is not done in a sustainable manner. For example, animals are housed under conditions that are too cramped, and therefore people have welfare concerns of those animals. Or we have conditions where some kind of food safety concerns occur. The area of welfare, of food safety, of worker health and safety, and worker training all play into sustainability, just as environmental quality does. What we need to do is we need to marry those sustainability areas and produce in an intensive way that takes care of sustainability at the same time. Sustainable intensification, in my opinion, is the way of the future. That's the way we all need to embrace and the way we will go, in my opinion, in the agricultural production of the next decades.
So in your mind, what is really sustainability, particularly when it comes to our cattle producers?
Well, in livestock production, sustainability rests on five main pillars. The one is environmental quality. The second is animal welfare. The third is food safety. The fourth is worker training, worker health and safety. And the fifth is economic viability. All of those five areas are equally important. And if one of them is impaired, then the whole system is not sustainable.
We've got a lot of folks that are detractors of U.S. agriculture, particularly our livestock sector. They feel that we don't need to be doing the things we're doing. They'd like to get rid of animal agriculture in some cases in the U.S. How do we refute them? How do we push back and tell the story? Because you said for the most part we're pretty good actors, right?
Well, I don't even think that we have to refute anyone. Rest assured, the vast majority of citizens in this country like meat and like livestock products. They like it and they consume it, no matter what. About 4% of the consumers really want to know where their food comes from. And about 1%, those are the real vocal activist types. They are the ones you will never convince. It doesn't matter what you spend and what kind of speakers you have, you will never convince them. They have made up their mind. They want to get rid of animal agriculture. They also want to get rid of your pet, of your dog at home, or your cat. They don't want any control of humans over animals. So don't spend a dime on convincing 1%, but do spend your time to inform the 95% that want to consume your products but want to be rest assured that it's raised in a sustainable manner. They do care how they are raised, right? The welfare of animals. They do care that it's safe, and they do care that the environment is not impaired.
When we think about where we are in production of animal protein, animal agriculture protein in this country, have we improved how we do things? Have we made strides that we can basically brag about?
Well, I think we have. This is really one of the biggest success stories throughout the world. We have doubled livestock production with half the number of animals now versus 50 years ago. We've doubled the amount of production with half as many animals. And that is exactly the kind of direction we have to go worldwide. And the reason for this is that we currently at 7 billion people in the world, and in 30, 40 years, we'll have about a third more people in the world. Throughout my lifetime, human population will have tripled, mm-hmm. from 3 to 9 billion people. And that means that we need to do much better with the limited resource we have, which is land usable to grow crops and animals. And how to do this is something we have shown in this country. But as an agricultural sector, we have not done a good job telling the public about it.
A few years ago, you gained some notoriety by taking exception with a UN group and a study that they basically put out regarding greenhouse gas emissions and the carbon footprint concept. and animal agriculture and kind of lumped everybody together. You said that's not true. Now you're actually involved with this group in your chair. The apple is kind of turned.
Yes, well, years ago, the world looked into how can we satisfy a growing global demand for food with limited resources. And the FAO, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, came up with a report that was very controversial. And I critiqued it as well, because there were some methodological problems that I highlighted, and largely those were agreed upon by the authors. But we don't want to look back. We want to look forward. We want to look forward with partners at the UN FAO and with membership country governments and with the livestock sector, with the entire livestock sector, global pork and dairy and beef and chickens and so on, and also with NGOs, non-governmental organizations like World Wildlife Fund and so on board. Why? Because we want the critics of animal agriculture to be in the same boat with governments and so on in order to put out a roadmap as to where we're going and to find out how do we actually measure all of these impacts that everybody wants to know about. Because believe it or not, there is nobody who actually knows how to measure all the impacts right now. The project I'm chairman of, is a project that is aimed at coming up with one methodology to assess the environmental footprint of all livestock globally. So for your farm, for your ranch, we will know what is the environmental footprint if you so choose to know it. And if you so choose to know it, you can compare yours to other farms. Or we can compare the U.S. to Australia or to China or other places for individual livestock species. And I think this is very important information, and we are very happy to be involved in, even in a leading capacity.
One last question, sir, and that has to do with what still needs to be done. What in your mind, what are the one or two things we really need to be working on that we still have fallen short of?
Well, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems is that many people in agriculture say, we know what we do, we are good at it, leave us alone. And that's a problem. Leave us alone no longer cuts in. 2% of the U.S. is in agriculture. 98% is not. More and more people want to know where their food comes from, and farmers need to tell them where their food comes from. If, for whatever reasons, there are areas that they don't want to talk about because they are ashamed of it, then those areas need to be worked at. I have seen with my own eyes things that I rather would never tell anybody, and those are the issues that need to be resolved. And in my opinion, ranchers and farmers need to, if they see something they don't like, self-police, tell their neighbors, tell whoever is a bad player, this is not acceptable, you put a black eye to our industry. And this is not happening often enough, it needs to happen more often, in my opinion.
So the transparency issues is important.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. People want to know where their food comes from, how it's produced. They want to be assured it's raised humanely, it's raised in an environmentally responsible manner, that it's safe. And food agriculture, animal agriculture particularly, needs to do a much better job telling the story.
Dr. Frank Mettlerner from the University of California, Davis, one of the participants at this year's International Symposium put on by the Alltech folks in Lexington, Kentucky. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.